Well, smack my ass and shave my balls. It's the best damn podcast from Chippewa Falls.
Are you fake chowing right now?
All right. We are Tales from the Hicks. Benjamin, you got the floor.
What's up, everybody? A little public service announcement for all our listeners out there before we get started. Just something I wanted to get off my chest and feel like people could really stand to hear. When you're driving on the highway or any two-lane road, for that matter, if you're not actively passing somebody or taking a left and a half mile, get the fuck out of the left lane. For fuck's sake, get the fuck out of the left lane. That's all. Just please, for the love of God.
And we're kind of going in a different direction than what we kind of had planned, but since you brought that up, I was actually just thinking about this yesterday, of everybody complains about the same things with merge onto the highway doing 65. Every single person I've ever talked to says the same thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there's still people that do it.
Yeah.
It's like, where do these people come from? Where do they live? How do they not know this is a thing?
All those people, their parents were related before they got married. I'm 100% certain of it.
So they're the real Hicks.
Yes. Yeah, it drives me absolutely crazy.
I ain't going to lie. When you said you had to get something off your chest, I was hoping it was going to be your shirt.
Not till later. Once we get more subscribers, then we can start, you know.
Okay.
So are you talking about on 53 down here? On
any fucking multiple lane road.
That road is horrible.
Yes. Next going, to that pile of shit.
That's yes. Going down to Eau Claire, that's horrible. We went down there the other day, and I was telling Tanner that I like to stay in the left lane.
Who just recently got his permit, by the way.
He did, yes. Yep. Congratulations.
Yep.
Yes.
And so we were going down to Eau Claire there, and I like to stay in the left lane from Walmart all the way down to the mall or wherever, because there's fucking retards that come off that onto those the ramps there. It's stupid.
The stretch from Walmart to the mall.
Yeah.
That stretch is so horrible because very few people treat that like a highway.
Hmm.
That's just another.
That's like an autobahn.
Yeah, it's just another, like, it's another road to get from A to B in Eau Claire, right? So almost nobody gets up to do, like, because at least for me, if it's 65, I'm doing 70.
Yeah.
If the speed limit's 70, I'm always doing 75. That's always what I do. And nobody does even 65, let alone 70. It just, it's absolutely infuriating.
It is. It's horrible. That's a bad deal.
Yep. There's a reason that I don't carry a weapon in my car, because I just pull it out and start fucking blasting.
Hey, talking about that, I'm lucky because I got my carry concealed.
Yep.
And I almost had to use that this morning at the Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
At the Walmart, huh?
Yeah.
Walmart.
Checking your receipt didn't let you out the door or what?
Why is there 30 people stocking shelves and two registers open? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Self-service, man.
Oh my. And then the self-checkouts, the red lights are on. You can't even use them.
I watched a video this morning. Hell? Granted, I think it was a TikTok video, so it could be 100% bullshit.
Well, no, if it's on the internet.
If it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Yeah.
But they were saying that in order to use the self-checkouts now at Walmart, you're going to have to be a Walmart Plus member. Otherwise, they will not allow you to use self-checkouts.
They better hire some more checkout people.
I don't know if it's true or not, but
I did hear that too from actual employee of Walmart.
That's $100 a year you got to pay.
No. Yep.
Oh, I do, and it is.
I'm a Walmart Plus member, and it's worth it.
That's
just an extra benefit to it. So you get
Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus free. Is free, which is I mean, if you pay $7 a month for Paramount already, that's
$84.
I get it because I never have to step foot in a Walmart.
Right. You can do
my groceries get delivered.
Yep.
So not only do they shop for you, they also deliver them?
100%.
Yep.
Only thing I have to pay is if I want to tip the driver.
Yep.
And I'll pay him $5. It is worth $5 for me to not have to step foot into that fucking store.
Yep.
100%.
Absolutely.
So you don't enjoy getting some of your own groceries?
No. If meat, and produce. Like if I want a good steak or something like that, I'll go and get that, right? Because then I don't want to shop or picking out my steak.
You're probably not going to get it at Walmart.
Honestly, like if it's just a, hey, I kind of got a hankering for a steak and it doesn't need to be anything fancy, their stuff is not horrible. But I'll go pick it out myself. I don't want somebody else doing it. But no, for the most part, if we're making steaks, like if I'm going to do it, I'm going to spend the money and I'll go to Rump's or I'll go to Mike's or Jacobson's or I'll go to a Real Meat Market and get good ribeyes or something. But yeah, and then produce. Like if there's, you know, some produce I would just rather go pick out myself. But it's like if I want a bag of apples, sure, I'll just add them to my Walmart cart. Hmm. But otherwise, fuck no. If it saves me from having to go to Walmart, absolutely.
Well, and then, I mean, so you talk about, we're way off tangent, but
yeah, that's all right.
That's what we do.
Yeah, so, circle back around.
So if you don't like it, don't fucking listen.
That's right. Don't listen.
The other,
just kidding. Listen.
Tell your friends, like and subscribe.
I don't think anybody
smash
else
smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like button. Tell all your friends. Spread the word. Spread the word.
Someone was watching videos this week. Someone knows.
If you don't like it, don't leave a bad review. Just don't listen. It's all right.
But one of the other things though about doing the shopping with Walmart online that I like probably the most is that when I'm doing it online, I'm picking out what I want, as opposed to when I go into the store, I might see a candy bar and I'm picking that up because, looks good. Your impulse buys are reduced by quite a bit.
That's a good point.
It is. And I have the app on my phone. I go to and normally I do my Walmart grocery delivery on a Friday or Saturday. So like Tuesday I go to the fridge. Damn, we're getting kind of low on milk. I just go onto my phone, add it to my Walmart cart, and I don't have to like add it to a list. I don't have to think about it ever again. Hmm. When I do my grocery delivery, when I submit my order on Friday, milk's there, right? Oh, need some more paper plates. I just put it in my cart.
Hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
I think Lacey did that one time, and maybe I was up north hunting or whatever I was doing. I wasn't home anyway. And she had ordered, went to that shopping thing or whatever, and they came with like half the groceries. And then a couple hours later, another half showed up. And then she said it was like 9 o'clock at night, doorbell rang, more shit showed up. She's like, what in the hell? And then, but then she didn't get everything she wanted, you know. But
was this during COVID?
I don't remember.
Because it was rough during COVID because everybody was doing that, right? So, like, their shelves were empty. They didn't have enough people to – it was rough during that time. I had shit – I had stuff get fucked up during then, too. It was – that's when I started doing it as well, was during COVID.
See, I just during the sports season when both kids had sports, I did the pickup, you know, where you put it in the cart and you just go there and pick it up. But I didn't – I guess I wasn't aware that – they deliver.
Yep. Actually, it wasn't COVID. It was when I broke my leg. Mm. I broke my leg and I couldn't drive because it was my right leg. Mm. So instead of just like adding another thing that the wife had to do for me, I signed up for Walmart Plus because I got my groceries delivered. Mm. And it was so convenient. I never looked back.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Stuff does get messed up and there's times when they're out of stock and you think to yourself, why the fuck did they pick this as a substitute, you know, for that?
Right, see, and that's what I was going to say. If you didn't have a Campbell's or whatever, they're going to pick some generic shit or whatever.
But, I mean, it's their app has gotten better now. Like, if they're low on something, it'll tell you, like, we're potentially low on stock on this item. Select a replacement. Mm. So then you choose what would be, like, the backup pick. Right. But
Or to not replace it. Like, if it's not available, I don't want anything.
Right. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, it's worth the convenience for me to not have to go to Walmart and have my blood pressure raised by 100
mine was sky high today. Lacey goes, just let me know when you're going to lose your shit. I'm going to go a couple aisles over because there's a little guy there, not from this country, and he always gets done at 8 o'clock and he's always out front the doors smoking a cigarette every fucking Sunday morning. And I'm like, all you got to do is go around the corner. There's a big gap between the two doors there. Go smoke there. Not out front. Not right there. Or have the manager send that fucking guy's ass in the back and smoke in the back.
And that's surprising to me because normally, like,
I don't think he can speak English, though.
That smoking area would be outside of, you know, Sorry.
Wind chimes.
Wow, it is blowy outside.
It is.
And when that first started happening, I thought it was from...
That was somebody was at my front door, nothing to worry about.
Oh. You're gone, so somebody showed up to your house now?
And, yeah. Yeah, they're there waiting for me.
I'm here for the orgy.
What's your wife going to say about that?
I'm not there in 10 minutes, just wait longer. Yeah.
That's part of that Walmart Plus thing?
Yeah, yeah, that's one of the unexpected benefits.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
all right, I got to go. I got to sign up.
Speaking of clean up on aisle two. Well, so yes. We're going to talk about what you found in your pocket.
Yeah.
I'm assuming like from one winter maybe to the next.
That is, yeah.
You come back and you put your coat on and...
Right.
Oh, hey.
Yep. I just thought that was interesting because I think it was last week or the week before. I had like a spring fall coat and put it on, no big deal. Not, you know, just walking out the door and I was like kind of feeling where the pockets were and I was like, well, what's this? So I pulled it out. It was a can cooler. Mm-hmm. A pen and a battery. So the whole drive here. Yeah.
What the hell?
And that's what kind of.
Welcome to the show, MacGyver.
Yeah. Sparked my interest to think the whole time I was here, what could have those three things been from? Still to today, I can't tell you why I had those three items in my pocket from a year ago.
Can cooler, a battery, and what was the other thing?
A pen.
A pen.
It was actually a marker. A red-capped marker. Permanent. Mm-hmm.
Like a Sharpie?
Yeah, Sharpie, yep.
You didn't have any duct tape in there?
No.
No duct tape. Okay.
No. So, yeah, it was it's just one of those things.
I'm gonna say can cooler because you were drinking. Yep. And then there was this chick, and you kind of, you know, we're thinking, hey, maybe, you know, me and you, what do you say? Mm-hmm. Marker, get her number. Mm-hmm. Battery... Because you knew you probably weren't going to be able to get the job done for her. So you were going to have to bust out the black rocket, you know, you keep on the nightstand and finish it off.
That's accurate.
She wouldn't notice the difference between the battery or his.
potentially, yes. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. Was it triple A?
I'm not going to tell you that it was a triple A then.
Yeah.
It was like one of those 12 volt battery.
Hey, look, I might not be much to look at, but I fucked up the government, all right? Just write it down.
Easy now. I am fiscally responsible.
But yeah, so that's where that come from, that topic. And I just figured I can't be the only one to put a coat on from a year ago or even 6 months ago and be like, oh, that's left in there. You know, obviously everybody finds money here and there, you know, but I just thought it'd be something we could bring up in personal experiences.
See, I'd been racking my brain about that, and I think the only thing is, you know, maybe like a $5 bill or something, which I guess I'd rather find that than a pen and a battery, but...
That's true. It's more valuable.
When I was younger and, you know, you'd go out more regularly... Money was the big one, right? You'd go out drinking, come home, strip off your shit, throw it down in the corner of your room, you know, and next time you go to wear something, like, well, here's a 20. But now, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I found anything in pocket that I wasn't aware that was there.
All right.
But I'm very much, like, before I take stuff off, like, I check my pockets before I, like, always. I don't know why. It's just something I do.
Habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a kind of similar thing there, too. So when I went rifle hunting, I always have a backpack on. I have a bunch of shit in the backpack, sandwiches, water, whatever.
Shit we never need.
Shit you never need. I don't know. I got to have that, yeah.
All the toilet paper.
I have all the toilet paper, yeah. So when there was a shortage, that was me. But anyway, so I had all that shit in there. And then the hunting season comes, so I got all the clothes and the bags and taking it all apart, washing it all, whatever, drying it, fold everything back up. So everything is ready to go for the next year. Well, the next year came, I rifled through it all again just to check, make sure, yep, I got this, that, yep, I got it. Went in my backpack. Well, guess what I forgot to take out? my peanut butter and jelly sandwich from the year before. Right? Yes. So I'm like, well, why in the hell is that stink? Because it was like a moldy. Well, it was black.
Yeah.
And it stunk. It was horrible. Well, there it was in the plastic bag. Jelly all ran down the side. It was all soaked in. Mm. Yeah, it was nasty.
So how did it taste?
Yeah, well, I didn't taste it.
No?
I tossed it.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the bag must have been good then.
Well, yeah, I reused the bag.
Rinse it out. Rinse it out.
Right. Mm. That's good. So, yeah, don't make sure when you have your backpack, just check everything. I forgot because now I got Tanner, so I got to check his shit too. You know, and
I have definitely done that after hunting for sure.
Yeah,
almost every year I'll get ready for hunting. I'm like, where in the fuck is my fillet knife for my? Because I always pack two fillet knives for when we're cleaning, you know, processing the meat.
That's the best knife to have.
100%. Yeah, not skinning or gutting. But when you're doing, you know, when you're processing your venison, fillet knife is, you know, that's the thing to have. But yeah. And then, you know, I think I have two fillet knives. So it's like, is it in with my hunting stuff? Is it in with my fishing stuff? Is it in the kitchen? Yeah, that I'm bad at. Or God, I could have swore I had more ammunition than this. Mm-hmm. And so I have a vest that I always wear over top of all of my hunting gear. And there's two chest pockets that have sleeves for rounds. And it never fails. I'll be like, where did all my ammo go? I could have swore I bought a whole box. Well, I always just take that vest off, throw it in my hunting clothes tote. Mm-hmm. And then I think, I'll put all that away when I get home. And the tote just gets shelled.
Right.
And there's 25 rounds of ammunition in my vest, you know, because I need to carry an extra 6 pounds of 300 mag ammunition on my person at all times. Because you never know. When a literal fucking herd of deer will walk through.
I haven't seen a herd of deer.
I'll need to put down, you know, 4 mags worth of ammunition.
Well, because after the first few shots, they stick around anyway.
Of course. Well, Chad, when you're as fast on the rifle as I am, the deer don't even have a chance.
Oh, well, that's...
The trigger pull, rocking the bolt back and forth, is that you can barely even blink in between rounds getting put downfield. And everyone's a dime piece, just a 10-ringer every fucking dime.
Wow.
Mr. Sniper here.
Whack them and stack them like cordwood. Just fucking bodies are piling up.
Nice. Yep. Good to know. Yep. Good to know.
Well, it's funny you say that because a while back, when I would work overtime, I'd get like extra whatever it was, $20 or $40. So I would know what my checks were. So if I had $20, $40, I'd always take that $40, go to Farm Fleet, and buy 2 boxes of shells. All the time. It was maybe twice a month. My supervisor at the time, I told him that. He's like, what the fuck are you doing that for? I'm like, this was before COVID and all the bullshit that happened, you know, but I'd always do that just to have. He's like, why? Why not? Well, I'm fucking glad I did because when COVID was going, you couldn't find nothing.
3-4 years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. You couldn't find shit on the shelf.
And if you did, it was 3 times as much for a box?
Stupid.
Even before COVID started, it got...
Just before...
Just think of what 22 ammo was going for.
Right.
You know, absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. I wish I could do that with my wage.
Just bump it up?
Yeah. Well, sir, I'm going more now, so... Yeah. Dig in your pockets and hand it over.
Yep. Deer hunting, your first deer, what was that like? Everybody's like, you know, what kind of experience was it for you?
My first deer?
Your first deer when you're 12 maybe or 13. 12,
yeah, yeah, somewhere in there. Actually, I got 2 of them.
Yep.
Which was a no-no. I had a 44 mag. It was a short rifle. And, so we were down on the hill there, 12 years old. I didn't know. I don't even know where he was close by.
But. Does this hill have a name? I mean, some of us might know, the listeners might know what kind of hill.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a ridge.
Okay.
There. And maybe just around there's like another hill thing.
Oh, okay.
You know where I'm talking.
Like females hang out? maybe there?
Females and males at the other one. And then more females at the ridge.
Sure. Yep. Yep. Okay.
Female.
Yep.
Deer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Anyway. I know what hill. Yeah. Okay. So we were there, or I was there, and I don't know how many deer came through. A shit ton, because they'd always come from the south and go to the north. And then the guys from the north would kick them to the south. I was right in the middle of all this shit. Well, all right, here comes a deer. Wham! I shot. Maybe 50 yards away. I was excited. Still standing there. All right. Wham! Ooh, there's on the other side of the tree. Wham! I just kept on shooting. Now I'm out of shells. I reload 6 of them. Wham! 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 I just kept on shooting because the son of a bitch went fall down. All right, well, here comes my dad running. Well, did you get it? I don't know. It was way down there. Well, we found blood, right? And he's like, well, I got blood over here, too. I'm like, well, how'd it get from there to over there? He's like, well, you got 2 of them. luckily, it was a, you had a doe tag, too, you know, and he tagged it. But I'll never forget that you only shoot once.
Yeah.
And make sure, because holy hell, that was a bad deal. Yeah. But that was my first deer. That was the first
one. There's really not a feeling like it.
I was excited, though. Well, yeah. I mean, I was stoked. Well,
of course, yeah.
But dude, that's what you've worked, you know, your the whole excitement. And your goal is to harvest a deer. So.
Right, and I got 2 of them. But
overachiever.
Well, luckily, he had a... an extra tag.
my first deer, my dad and I think we're down in the Eau Claire County Forest, and I was sitting wherever I was sitting. My dad was not far away, right? Because it's my first year, so I'm 12. He was maybe 150, 200 yards away, just out of sight, but not far away. And so we agreed we were going to meet for lunch or whatever. So I walked over to his, where dad was standing, and we sat down on a log and got out our PB&Js or whatever, you know, and ate our lunch. And
from the year before?
No. They were almost freshly packed, my mom.
Shall it?
We finished our lunch and I got up to leave, and all of a sudden I heard my dad, and I turned to look. He's like, come here. And he's whispering, you know, and I come walking back over, and his stand was on top of this little knob. And it wasn't really a big ridge, but there was a huge downslope in front that just, you could see out a long ways in the forest there. And it was all old growth trees with not much undergrowth. So it was really easy to see. And way down at the bottom of that little gully there stood a deer. And it was, I don't know, 50 yards away, 75 yards away, something like that. I don't know. And of course, immediately, you know, my heart goes to about 3,000 beats a minute, you know, just fucking sweating, like, oh my god, here's my deer, you know. And so I lean up against this tree and I put the crosshairs on it, and there's a drift right in front of the pump house, right in front of the vital area, right in front of that front shoulder. And I don't know if it's just a drift of snow or if it's a down tree and there's snow on top of it. Okay. So I don't want to shoot through it. And so I move a little bit, trying to get a better angle. And this goes on for like 3-4 minutes. And finally, my dad's like, what the fuck are you doing? Just shoot the fucking deer. It's going to be gone. And I'm like, well, there's a big, he's in them fucking move. You know, not upset at all. That I'm just absolutely wasting time.
You seem pretty calm.
Yeah, pretty mellow about it. So I move. So I got a decent shot at it. Good, you know, good clear view or whatever. And just, I mean, exactly as I'm pulling the trigger, the deer turns away from me. I mean, the exact moment, there's no way I could have not, you know, stopped or anything. It was the precise moment. And I knew as soon, right, like, fuck, I'm sure I missed that thing, you know, sure as shit. And I said, the deer turned as I was pulling the trigger, Dad. I said, there's no way I hit it. He's like, well, you don't ever assume that. He's like, we go down and we look. Because if there's a blood trail, you do the responsible thing and you find it.
Yep.
So we made the walk down, and we weren't even halfway there, and Dad's like, there's your deer, and it was laying there dead.
Texas heart shot.
And I could not believe it, and so we got up to it, and I said, did somebody gut my deer already? And Dad just kind of got a little smile on his face. No, Ben. And I shot it. When it turned, his ass must have been right. And so I shot it right up the butthole. And it blew out the front chest cavity.
Perfect.
And there literally was no gutting needed. Like, I think I just reached in and cleaned out a few leftover danglers. But
nice.
That was it. Yeah, there was – and it was a very small deer. I couldn't have been prouder, but I literally threw it over my shoulders and walked it out to the truck. Like, it was a large deer.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
It might as well have been the 30-pointer for all – you know, that was one shot and he was done.
Well, then you didn't have to track it.
Nope. There was – he dropped right there. Mm.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
I would say my first deer – If I recall.
I thought you were still waiting on your first.
No, that's you.
No, we were hunting up north, and I think it was the first day I didn't see anything. Not a deer. You know, and everybody around us is seeing deer. And so I'm sitting there and with my dad, and he, I believe, was taking a nap, if I recall.
Weird.
And where I was hunting, there was a ridge, and I was on one side.
That sounds like the same ridge I was on.
Tell me more about this ridge.
Yeah. And I'm on one side, and then across the ridge, up on the hill, there was, at that time, a handful of pine trees. And I was under the impression that I seen a deer. So I'm watching over there, and then, nope, nothing. Well, then I pulled up the rifle, and there was actually a deer there.
Mm.
Ended up shooting it. And for the first deer, probably the worst experience, the deer come down to the bottom of the ridge.
Oh. Nice. Yeah.
Which, you know, after it was all said and done, you know, I was happy. My dad was happy, I assume, minus the fact that we had to drag the deer
all the way back up that hill.
It's the same ridge that I'm thinking. It's, you got sides on both.
It's steep.
It's steep on both sides.
And it is. Yep. So that was, you know, a short version of that story, but, yeah, it's still that ridge is still there.
Oh, and, hard to believe. Crazy. Know, I figured it would have smoothed out by now.
No,
I haven't been to that ridge in a long time. I would like to get back there, but
yeah, just for a walk one day,
and sit all day.
Oh, sit there. Okay.
Yeah. But then not go out the same way I came in, because I can't go in the same way. I'd have to go out a different way, because it's way closer than coming in 2 miles from the other direction.
Right. That seems like a lot of walking.
Right, but it's only, what is it, a half a mile drag the other way instead of a 2 mile drag
back
the way you came in.
But yeah,
so you'd have to talk to a couple people to see if you can't come a little bit closer.
Sneak a key or something.
Get a key. Yeah.
But that, you know, for the, like I said, for that experience, it was good, even though it was you know, some people would be deterred because your first one, you know, and then you got all this extra work. And it's true. It's all excitement until the fact that that excitement is gone, and now the work starts.
Yep.
But it hasn't deterred.
Your first deer, though, like, none of that was work.
Right. Yeah. No.
You know.
Hmm.
Yep.
I mean, now it's like, even now you're older, right? We're much older and
20 have plus shot years, and we're still
lots more deer. And but I mean, now it's like, oh, I shot it. Ah, well, now the fun's over. Like, now the work begins. But when I was younger, like, that was, I could not wait to gut my deer after I shot it.
Yep.
You know, like, that was the coolest.
And then to find out you didn't have to.
Even after that, like, just in general, I always thought gutting deer was one of the coolest things, you know. And now that you're older and have done it a bunch, right, like, it's not as exciting. It's work now. But
for a
lot of years, like, that was.
And you get to warm your hands up. I mean, you're literally in. You know.
Yep.
I almost hesitate on shooting a deer just for the fact of gutting it. I'm not a fan of that at all.
No, that doesn't bother me. I have a strong. No. Gross you out, bother you, or just the work bother you?
No, it's the smell.
Okay. Yeah. So
is what it is.
I have a very strong stomach, so that doesn't.
So I was up Solon Springs hunting, bull hunting, right? A while back. So Chad, uncle of mine, he goes, well, you sit up in the corner of this woods here, and there's a big clear cut in front of me. He goes, they're going to come out on the corner right over there. I said, all right. So I sat there, and sure shit, like clockwork, here comes a doe and fawn. I'm like, all right. Here they 20 yards away. Pull back. I watched my arrow go through, hit and come through. I'm like, holy shit. I never had that happen before. And, yep. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I watched her go and she disappeared. Well, then he came over and his brothers came over and we found blood, but it was dark. So he's like, well, we'll just leave her sit till morning. All right. We came back in the morning. Well, there she was. Well, it was a gut shot. It was back far. Oh, man, did that stink. So I got down there. I started going.
Was it early season? So it was still pretty warm.
No, this was November, beginning of November, first week of November. So it was like trying to get during the rut.
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't give a shit because they didn't care. Just shoot a deer.
Yep.
Perfect. Yep. So as long as you don't care, I'm going to shoot whatever. You know?
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm not a horn hunter at all. So
right.
It's tough to eat.
I would like to get one on the wall, though. I really would. But anyway, so when I was down there gutting, that smell of the shit bag was.
Yeah. If you bust that open, that's whether it's cold or warm, it's not a good thing.
And then his brother. And then, of course, they were giving me shit. And I was gagging and. Chad was over there with a picture, and I had fucking puke coming out my mouth. He has a picture. He still has a picture of that, you know. And
yeah.
God damn it. And then his brother just came in there with a knife, and he cut it from the crotch all the way up to its neck. I mean, he cut the ribs wide open and got in there. It was a minute.
Yeah.
He had it completely gutted out, and it took me a half an hour to get cut through this. It was a bad deal.
Yeah.
But
we were...
He has a tough stomach. I do not. I'm weak.
I'm lucky there. I have a very strong, even like changing diapers, right? Like shit everywhere. Like that never bothered me, fortunately. But we were, I used to bow hunt all the time with my dad. And I always like we'd feed corn, you know, to try and bring them in back in the day when that was not a big deal. And, of course, when you're sitting over a corn pile, always fucking squirrels in there, you know, every night, we'd go over after school to hunt and I watch all these goddamn squirrels come in and yell our corn. And finally one night I was like, that's it. I've had enough of that shit. And I just started smoking squirrels out of my tree stand until I only had one arrow left in my quiver and I had five squirrels stuck to the ground around the corn pile. And I was like, well, I better save that last arrow. In case a deer comes out. And the night came and dad came over to my stand and looks down at all the arrows stuck in the ground and the squirrels, and starts shaking his head. And really? This is what you do when you're fucking bow hunting? He's like, I was tired of all the squirrels stealing our corn, Dad. He's like, and what would you have done if a fucking deer come through? I said, I got one arrow left. He's like, yeah, yeah. And with all the commotion that this caused, he's like, I can't believe you didn't see any deer. I was like, well, that's five less squirrels that we've got stealing our corn.
That's true.
He wasn't exactly super stoked about that.
Mm. Well,
I was pretty pumped about it.
Well, that's just practice. You were exactly, pretty accurate, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was how my dad, at least for me, but I would say my dad and I, got really good with the bow is we had a permanent campsite up in Chetek, and lots of times we'd go up like early on a Friday morning, there'd be nobody at the campground. Or once or twice a year, in the summer, dad would take a week off of work and we'd spend the whole week up at the campground. And they have got, obviously it's a campground, right? There's shit tons of chipmunks and squirrels and everything up there. And we had clearance from the owners to do this as long as it was when there was nobody around. We'd take our bow up with a flu arrow, if you guys know what those are. Yep. They've got, for people who don't know, really large fletchings on the arrows, so like they don't get stuck in a tree or they don't go as far as a normal arrow would. And we'd have small game tips on them, if you've ever seen one of them.
Yep.
It's a blunt end with like four wires that come out of the end of the arrow so it doesn't dig into the ground and you lose it. And we would take our bows up there and we'd just sit on the deck and wait for squirrels to be hopping through the campsite, and we'd light them up with those. And that's how I, lots of practice shooting chipmunks. And
that's good. That's a, well, it's you know, obviously the accuracy, but, you know, that's a lot smaller target than
you're,
you know, going for a whitetail.
Yep. So. Yep. Yeah, we always used to, we'd go to the Chippa Bonners Club every Wednesday night. You know, you'd go out there and take a walk around the range and shoot or whatever. And you'd always go back and they had hot dogs from Soakups and a fire going. And all the, you know, I was a kid at the time, all the grown-ups would be drinking some, you know, cold adult beverages, and I'd get a Mountain Dew or whatever. And off to the side, they had a big metal deer with just a cutout for the heart. And it was the size of a heart. And that always used to be a thing, like, oh, let's go shoot at that. Because if you don't hit the heart, your arrow is destroyed because it's a very thick gauge metal target. So the guys would all, you get a few beers and then it would be, oh, rah, rah. And of course, I just drank Mountain Dew, so I never had the effects of the adult beverages, so to speak.
Sure,
so, yeah, so I would always, you know.
You only saw one heart.
I only saw one heart, yeah. And so I would always throw some money down and we'd go out there and that would always be my like little savings account for the week. So, yeah, it was always fun. Yeah.
But, well, yeah.
You sure?
I really can't remember my first deer, per se, but the one that I do remember is when I was hunting with Jason. It was the, what was it, 9 or 10 point, I think, I ended up getting. I don't think he was impressed hunting with me that day because, I mean, I'm not a big hunter, and I actually, I think that was maybe the last time I had even went hunting.
That was about 2000.
That was 10, 12 years ago.
2012 maybe?
Yeah, maybe 2012, 2013, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But, no, he went and took me to a spot, and I went down there and got comfortable and took a nap.
On a hill.
Yeah, yeah, this was on a hill, not a ridge.
This was a big hill, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The big one, right. Not way down in the little one.
Yeah. Yep, where the
all the way, hill. Yep, the male hill, but all the way to the back.
Yes.
Yep. Side yep. down there, yep. Yeah.
And then I was, what, probably on the north of the north side?
Yeah.
Yep. And he sent me down there, and I never really got into it. You guys didn't know this, but I never was really a big hunter. Huh. I didn't really care one way or another.
You don't say.
Nope, yeah, I never was, so.
You don't say, man.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, you could pretty much put me anywhere, and I'll sit there. If something comes by, great. If not, well, whatever.
You'd end up carving your name into the tree is what you'd do.
Yeah, I think I've done that.
How many packs of smokes would you go through?
This was when I was smoking, so yeah.
Yeah, you were. Yep.
Yep.
Your one-piece jumpsuit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, smoking does not scare deer away.
It does not scare. No, they come to you. Yes,
I have had to put out cigarettes so I could shoot a deer.
That is correct. I had to do the same thing.
This is exactly where the story is going.
Yeah.
Yep.
And actually, I probably carried around packs of cigarettes like you carried around 308 mags. You probably.
Well, it's pretty boring sitting out there when I smoked. Oh, yeah. Fucking right.
Dude. Yeah, it was.
He probably had cigarettes from last year in his jumpsuit.
You're taking at least three packs out there.
Oh, yeah. You. Oh, yeah. Well, there was another instance where I got lost once, and I needed as many cigarettes as I could have, you know, and so it was very important. But, no, he set me up over there, and I don't even know how long it was. Maybe an hour, maybe a half hour. It wasn't long.
I would
long.
Say a half hour.
I don't even think it was that. It was just getting light, like just light,
you know,
opening day.
Yeah.
That's crucial point of the story.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you hear the squirrels or whatever, the crunch, crunch, crunch. So I hear this and I'm thinking, oh, it's the squirrels and whatever. So whatever, I'm smoking
away,
smoking a cigarette. And I actually kind of looked down and it was a deer coming in. I'm like, and I could see that it had horns on. I'm like, well, this is good. This is the one I'm going to get. Because so now, unlike you guys, I actually was going for the horns because I didn't really ever eat the meat, which is why I don't hunt anymore. So it was more about the trophy, I guess. So I shot him and I kind of watched him go. I don't know, maybe he shot once, twice, maybe three times.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah.
Watched him go and, all right. Wait.
Your heart rate wasn't elevated at all, was it?
It was.
You're such a calm person.
Yeah, I know.
You wait till it gets to my part of the story.
You don't talk about a calm person.
Yeah, so, I was calm.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So I go in and I check, and I'm like, all right, well, oh, this was only a little while, 15 minutes or whatever I waited. And then I go down to make sure, yep, there he is. Ooh, it's nice. Well, I took a couple pictures, and this is good. Jason's going to be so proud of me. I can't wait to go tell him. And I couldn't. So I'm walking along, go, and I find him, and Jason, what? I got one.
No, that's not how you said that. No, that's not it at all. You come walking up to me with your phone in your hand.
Oh.
Hey, look, I got to show you something. What the fuck are you doing? I go, it's opening day. It's 7:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm.
Not prime time.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
He go, well, look, I got to show you. You don't even get service out here in the woods at all. Zero service, zero reception. What in the hell is so goddamn important that you got to show me on your phone because we don't get any reception?
Pictures.
Yeah, he wanted to show me pictures. Well, I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, I was excited.
Wow.
I think I'd probably only gotten maybe 3-4 deer in my life anyway, so it was, and that was obviously one of the big ones.
And it was a nice deer.
Yeah. Well, and then the thing was, when he come walking up to me, he was trying to show me this picture of the deer that he shot. And I was upset, but then until I figured out what he was doing, because I thought he was fucking around on his phone, sending pictures to...
I passed this level on Candy Crush.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, what the hell?
You ever seen a high score like that, fucker?
Right.
I'm out of cigs.
We got to go back to town.
Yep.
No, so I didn't know what he was doing, and...
Well, that made two of us, because I had no idea.
But, come cut this thing out for me.
Right, I was pretty stoked after I figured out that he shot a deer, and it was pretty cool that he did that.
Yeah, needless to say, now my Novembers are spent not in the woods.
The question, was that your first buck?
No, I think I had gotten like maybe a fork or something in the past, but not.
I just want to know if it was your first buck, if you hung the nuts in the tree.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, you do that at any, not maybe. Even your
well,
first
buck. Well, but for sure, though, anybody. Your first buck, well, it's right. always got to be done.
You got to hang your nuts in the tree.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the staple of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason almost hung my nuts in the tree.
So. I did almost hang. I almost did.
I can't believe you didn't like have to sit out and have a cigarette after that before you did anything else.
I shit you not, I literally had to put my cigarette down to pick up my gun to shoot the deer.
Yeah. I've had to do that. My biggest buck I ever shot. I had to put out, was that a cigar? No, I think it was a cigarette. I was smoking something and I had to put it out so I could shoot the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we listened to the Duck Call Room podcast with the guys from Duck Dynasty. And I was actually just listening to an episode this week, maybe Friday. And Uncle Si was a big smoker. And he said that one time he had heard a deer cough. So he said that secondhand smoke is bad for deer. So.
Yeah.
I remember that the day that you shot that because, you know, I don't know, it was mid-morning whenever we get back. And I think you guys were down at your cabin.
Yeah.
And at that time up there we had service then, you know, at the cabins. And I still, it took quite a while for me to be like, there's no way Nate shot that.
Yeah.
Like, just in general, A, he would have been smoking, or B, sleeping.
Yeah.
There's no way he shot that deer. But it was a good year.
No, he did shoot it, because he came and showed me.
No, yeah.
I can remember musky fishing with Nate one time. Yeah. We went on a trip.
That's a good time. I want to do that again.
Yeah, we went on a trip up north to Minocqua. Me and a couple of buddies used to always take a week trip up there musky fishing, and Nate was in the boat with me, and lots of times muskies will strike boat side. You know, that's why you do a figure eight at the end of every cast or a big L. And Nate, I think, was using a topwater, and he had it right up by the boat. And a pretty nice muskie took a fucking swipe at it right there. And I've never seen anybody quit fishing so immediately. If that thing came up and took a swipe, I was like, Nate, figure eight. And if fucking Nate was as white as a ghost, which really is saying something.
Right.
And his eyes were so large, they were like dinner plates, and that rod got set right down in the fucking boat immediately. And he reached into the Tommy jacket, out comes a fucking pack of Marlboros, and just like this. And down he sat, and he stood there for a little while. He was all done fishing for a little bit.
They're big fish, aren't they?
Yeah.
Did you think it was going to come in the boat?
No.
Or
no.
What had happened?
No, it was just, it was big.
But great white.
Could have ate
Jaws.
The part that really scared me of that trip, though, was we had went at night one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, like 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. It was like pitch black. Well, it's scary enough when you see those big fish in the daylight.
Right.
And now you don't know. Because it's dark. I mean, you can't see if they're behind
you. That's what happens at night?
Oh, it gets dark at
most,
night?
Yeah, in most places.
Okay.
Yeah, so that, I mean,
okay.
that'll get your heart going, whether there's a fish or not. Which, I mean, you don't know, but just that anticipation or that anxiety of thinking, am I about to go in?
It's exciting at night, that's mm-hmm. for sure. But you have a window during moonrise and moonset. Usually there's a feeding window, so that's what we were out there for that. But yeah.
Cool.
Well, of course, a guy like me, I'm thinking back to, is it Jason coming out of the boat or coming out of the water? You two probably, I know, hasn't never seen it. But
well, that
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it seems scary. I don't do scary things.
I know. You did once.
I did do that once. I was involved in that.
I was trying to think about this. I had to be 16 or 17. 16 or 17.
Yeah, you were. I mean, obviously, you were old enough to drive.
Yep.
So you weren't
old enough. I was not old enough to drive.
So would he come and pick you up, or what? Or why were you?
Yeah, I think he picked up myself. Yep. I would assume Andy, our cousin Andy.
Yep.
And was Stacy driving, though? Would have she been driving? So you would have been about 18, maybe?
17, 18. Well, maybe I would have had to have been 18.
Yeah,
in the old Monty?
Yeah, but I don't know which one I had, if I had the red one or the blue one.
I want to say it was the blue one.
I thought it was the blue one, too.
I think it was the blue one.
Yeah.
I mean, they were both two doors, but I'm pretty sure it was the older one, the blue one.
Right. But we went over to, I want to think it was Mr. Movies even back then, or Blockbuster or something.
One of those, yeah.
We went over, and it was right
around
the
corner. Celebrity video.
No, I know we didn't go downtown. I know we didn't go downtown.
They had that secret room in the back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A secret room.
I snuck in that room.
I think we've all snuck in that room.
No, no. What was back there? Is that where they kept the snacks?
Yeah. Oh, somebody's snacks.
The Disney movies. Yeah. With all the Disney princesses.
Yes. Yes,
yeah, that black curtain on there.
Yeah. That curtain was going to stop.
Yeah.
I would always stand just right, because if you just stood just right, you could sneak through. You could sneak a peek through there and see what was going on back there.
See the crown jewel of the princess.
Yeah.
Mm. No, it's like 1 a.m. trying to watch Skinamax when you don't get it. Just right. Hoping every once in a while to catch the fuzz, you see a boob. Yeah. Oh, I saw a titty. Dad walks out into the living room at 1 a.m. What in the fuck? Nothing, Dad. Nothing. Just watching. I was just changing channel. Get the fuck to bed.
That's what was in that room.
I heard a story once. That never happened to me, but I heard people talk about it.
Right. So anyway, what happened to you?
Well, so the plan of the night was, I want to think it was me, you, Andy, Stacy, and Tanya.
Tanya Bayline.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the plan of the night was going to be a haunted night. So we went to we went to Mr. Movies or Blockbuster, whatever. Yep. We got, this was when Scream first had come out, so this was 98, 99. Yeah, it had to be.
My mom and dad are gonna be so mad at me.
Yeah. My parents were gone, you were gone.
Yeah.
And we were watching that, and then we were gonna do the Ouija board.
Yes.
This was gonna be the night of scary stuff. And we were doing the Ouija board, and we had
in the kitchen. The dining room area. Yep.
Yep. And I think, was it some of the pots that were like waiting in the drying area?
Over by the stove area, whatever they were
sink,
doing.
Yep.
Something.
They shifted or kind of fell a little bit, so we heard that.
No, it definitely fell. Not somewhat. There, some shit moved. Somebody or something moved over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't supposed to.
No.
So this is how long have you guys been doing the Ouija board at this time when this happened? You just had the
box. We
were
playing the game. No, did you even open the box?
That's not a game.
The event was happening.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, yeah, we were.
It's a board game. I would agree with that.
We were playing the board game.
Yeah. But we had this tall, like, wooden statue type thing. It was probably like this. It was from Mario from Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
That was up on one of the shelves.
Was that the Virgin Mary?
It might have been. Yeah. She was up on one of the shelves in the living room, and it had fallen, but not like. When it fell, it didn't just, like, fall down. It, like, fell out. So, like, it was further away from the wall than what it should have been. I think too, that's the time that we went over to McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We went over to McDonald's to get some dinner and stuff.
That's why I know this is, well, we lived it, so I know it happened. It was the truth. But this is makes it even worse.
Yeah. So when we got back, the door going into the garage was locked.
And so, supposedly that's never been locked. Like, you guys never locked it.
No.
The service door.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we ever really locked that.
Well, that's because Jason's got to get in there quick to shit. Right. You can't be locking that.
Yeah.
But that was for some reason it was locked and I didn't have a key. When we got back and we didn't know how we were going to get in. I think
my guess is the last person out the door locked it.
God,
on the way out.
That's how I go to sleep, because I tell myself that's it, but I don't think that's actually. Yeah.
But I think just the quiet and the dark and the open field behind us or whatever, Andy kind of got scared enough, or he just busted right through.
Yep, put his shoulder into his shoulder,
and he could have been.
Well, 12. If I was, I would say 10, 12, because if I would have been. Well, we're whatever 2 years, so I would. Yeah. He would have been 10. I would have been 12. You know, in those areas,
yeah.
But
6 and 14. Yeah, 12, 10. Yeah,
yeah. It was an eventful night, and I'm sorry that you live there, and now you're not going to be able to sleep tonight. But
I can sleep just fine.
Not after
I have
these
no problems with these.
Yeah. No, because just
entities.
Remember,
just don't ever look in the backyard then.
Yeah. Because we were all there.
Yeah,
I know. Playing in that game. And these events happened.
So what was, I still haven't heard the scary part, because something tipped over in the drying rack? That was the scary part?
No, because we were playing the Ouija board.
Yeah.
And you know that when you're playing that game, it kind of takes, it just does its own thing. Yeah.
Sure. Chutes and Ladders are scary too. Well, I get really scared when I play Candyland. Well,
and when you're playing that game, it's dark out and all of a sudden things start to tip over.
We were watching scary movies and it was a good time.
So that the pot fell in the drying rack in the kitchen.
Well, and then the
Virgin Mary.
And the Virgin Mary is a statue tipped over.
Well, we're playing this.
I don't know if I'd even say tipped over. She flew.
I'm assuming somebody threw it.
So levitated.
Well, yeah, I think somebody threw it.
Sure.
Warning us.
Who?
Oh.
Who was the person that threw it?
I have no idea.
So you're saying that house is haunted, is what you're trying to get at?
I.
Or there was something.
It couldn't have been one of the other people playing the game that did it. Just
no, we were on the table.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we left. I left quickly. We went outside, which to me, that's not smart. Like, you shouldn't. I mean, that's where they're waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. They are.
I think.
Oh, I didn't know. Now I know. Good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
don't go outside, Jason.
Tonight, when you're at
home. Well, don't go in the backyard.
When you're sleeping and you can't sleep and you wake up and then you're like,
I can sleep. Something? I sleep just fine. I don't hear nothing.
Well, I'm going to have Tanner tip something over and run downstairs quick tonight.
I'm fine.
So good luck with that. But the backyard.
As long as it's like by 2:30, it's fine, because I'm up by 2. I'll be up by 2:30.
Probably have him do it around 11 before he goes to bed.
I still won't hear. I'm sleeping.
Yeah, well, not tonight.
I go to bed about 7:30, maybe.
Just think 7. You're going to feel somebody touch the bottom of your foot.
I hope it's my wife.
Ooh. But so
I wouldn't be hoping for it to touch my foot.
Well, whatever. So, a touch is a touch.
That's true.
So scary things have happened at your house inside, and it sounds like outside.
No. Scary things happen outside your house,
or no?
No.
No.
No. That wasn't scary. I'll tell you.
Startled.
Startled.
Did you have shit in your pants?
No, I didn't have shit in my
Close?
Pants. You Close.
Do you, does, when
I threw
you get,
a bolt.
When you get started, do you scream like a little girl and the other things?
I do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's well, now I know where Kaylee gets her scream from.
Oh, okay. Her mom.
No, oh, you. Me. I have never
might be
heard.
Mistaken for a lady.
It was just
so
the
what
loudest.
Happened? What happened then? Just tell them the story.
Well, was it around Halloween, I would imagine?
I would imagine.
Yep. So Jason,
same time frame as the Ouija.
See? Ooh. Jason has this fear of Michael Myers.
A huge fear of Michael Myers.
The guy that fell in the lake?
Did he fall in the lake?
No, he didn't.
Oh.
That was the very first step.
Who fell in the lake?
Jason.
Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees.
He's the one that drowned at Crystal Lake campground. Yeah. Right. Okay, yeah.
Michael Myers is a Jason babysitter's.
These are scary people.
So Michael Myers is Jason's babysitter. Is that what you said?
No.
Oh. I can't. What is going on?
Michael, the kids were over here for some reason. I don't know if they got dropped off. And then we went. You were already at home, so I had Lacey give me a ride with her. She dropped me off at the corner backyard of the house.
Num Nuts here said, I got a great idea.
It was a great idea. I still think it was a great idea.
That was a horrible idea.
Well, I put my
coveralls, one piece.
Yeah, my one piece coveralls.
Back to one piece. Yeah. You just never got out
of it. But these weren't blaze orange. These weren't blaze orange.
These were like Carhartts.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, when I change my oil.
Mr. Mechanic.
Yeah.
When
I do man stuff, I need a coveralls. But
when I take the garbage out, I got to make sure that I don't get my tarpies dirty.
So I had those on, and then I put on the Michael Myers mask, and she dropped me off at the corner of the backyard of his house. So I went, snuck through the darkness or whatever, and she went around, pulled in the driveway, and she was parked and went inside. So I'm waiting in the back by one of the trees in the back of the...
What I wish now is there was somebody behind you. That would have been the shit.
Yeah. Well, she had told him that she wanted him to look at the mums. Come look at the mums. Come look at the mums.
So. I think they're frozen or they're dead. Oh, well, no shit. It's October out. I'm like, now?
Yeah.
Like, you know? Now?
So he come outside and he's standing there looking at the flowers and stuff, and I'm just kind of standing still as can be, somewhat in the shadows, but tried to be enough in the light to where, you know, when he catches a glimpse, he could see me. He finally had turned just enough, and I've never heard a man make this noise. It was just, it was like the perfect raise of
pitch. Crescendo.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And then turned with one leg up and chucked the bolt. For whatever reason, you had the bolt in your hand.
Well, I had that,
the bolt at me.
I had a flannel on, and I was a
thing he found in his pocket.
Thing I found in his pocket.
There you
bolt.
Go.
Yeah. Broken bolt. See? I had two of them in there, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I had was that flannel on, and I was splitting wood prior to that, and the wood splitter, one of the bolts broke on the, so I had that in my, then I had that in my pocket so I could go to Farm Fleet and get a 2-inch bolt or whatever. I just wanted to make sure it was the same one. That was in there. That was the only thing I had to throw.
He missed me by a good 20 feet.
Oh, I wasn't even close.
If it hadn't been for that bolt, he'd have probably had to throw his poo at you.
Yeah.
I could have been like a monkey.
Never catch me. I'll be too busy falling down on my duty.
Right.
Yeah, so that was.
And after I threw it, I'm hilarious. Like, oh, shit, I need that bolt back. Well, it's fucking dark outside. We're looking for a fucking half-inch bolt. Good Lord.
But I'll tell you, that will not probably ever happen again now that you have your concealed carry license.
Good.
Yeah.
Brother shoots brother.
Yeah.
What happened, sir? He scared the shit out of me. Look at him. He's dressed like Michael Myers.
When I was still living at home, I don't remember. I snuck into the house one night. I was home late, way after curfew or whatever.
From your boyfriend's place?
Might have been, yeah.
Okay.
And I snuck into the house, and I'm trying to be super quiet, obviously, you know. Going through the dining room. And all of a sudden, I hear a hammer cock on a .44. And immediately, my bowels loosened. And I just went, just me, Dad, because Dad always kept a .44 in the nightstand next to the bed. And I'm assuming he was sitting up waiting for me, and this was just for dramatic effect.
Oh, so he was pissed.
Yeah. Because it was late and I heard that fucking hammer click back. Jesus Christ. You want to talk about bowel loosening moments? It's just me, Dad. Get your fucking ass to bed. Got it. Permission to clean my drawers out first.
Roger that.
Two of my, other than the onion thing with your mom that we discussed last week, probably two of my favorite pranks like that or whatever. One was on our muskie fishing trip that we talked about. It wasn't the one when Nate was there. It was the first one we ever did. It was me and two buddies and then my one buddy, Mark, his girlfriend, Nicole. And we had a cabin rented in the wood, middle of the woods on a lake, you know, middle of nowhere up in Monaco or whatever. And it was late at night, one of the nights we were there, and we were sitting around playing cards or something, drinking beers, you know, after dinner. And there's a big storm that rolled through, knocked all the power out. So then we're all just in this cabin, middle of the woods with candles going, right, playing dominoes.
I've never played that game.
Yeah, we were playing.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Oh, I would like to learn how to do that.
Yep.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's right. So we're playing.
Squirrel.
Yeah. So we're playing dominoes, and then, of course, we start telling scary stories and whatnot, you know, because we're in a cabin in the middle of the woods with all the lights out, power's out. Excuse me. And so I was like, well, I got to go take a leak. And I was like, if I'm not back in 10 minutes, call the police, you know, whatever. And so I went outside and took my leak, and then I proceeded to purposely just stand there for a good 3-4 minutes, you know. And everybody was playing in like the dining room, which is kind of just off the kitchen. And there's a big window in the kitchen. And I turned my hat to the side and I grabbed some mud off the ground and I kind of like smeared it all over my face or whatever. Jeez. And I went up to the kitchen window and I just ran up next to the kitchen window and just started fucking pounding on the window and screaming as loud as I could for help, you know. And all I heard from inside was just screams. I heard the kitchen table get flipped over and then just commotion, right? And immediately I'm laughing so hard, I'm pissing my pants, you know. I go back up onto this little deck thing that they had and through the sliding glass door into the dining room, living room area. And my buddy Shane is still sitting down in his chair next to the kitchen table that's been flipped over. Dominoes are everywhere. My buddy Mark is behind Shane with his arms around his neck, just fucking choking him like this. Both of them are screaming bloody murder. And Mark's girlfriend, Nicole, is in the bathroom with the door shut. And I hear her screaming, trying to crawl out the bathroom window. And I literally crawled through the sliding patio door because I'm laughing so fucking hard, you know. And all of a sudden, like, I'm dying. I'm laughing, right? I'm crying. And, like, the light slowly comes on with Mark and Shane, you know. And Shane's trying to peel Mark's hands off his neck because he's choking him. And Mark just stops finally, and he's like, you motherfucker. And then Shane stands up, turns around, and hits Mark. He's like, what in the fuck are you choking me for? He's like, I couldn't breathe. He's like, all I knew was something was coming through that door, and I wanted you between me and it.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, man, they were so mad. And I, just thinking about it makes me chuckle. It was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Cool.
But that was probably one of the best. And then another one. So in high school, I got hurt in football, and I had to have surgery on my leg. And I was on crutches or whatever after it, completely non-weight-bearing on that leg for however long. And once it got along far enough, they said I had a cast, and I could put a garbage bag around my cast to take a shower. And so I was so excited to be able to take a shower, you know. Right. And mom was like, well, you're going to have to let me or your dad come in there with you and help you because you can't run the risk of falling down in the shower. Like, and you know, I'm a teenager, right? There is zero chance I'm letting my parents in the bathroom with me while I take a shower. I was like, absolutely not. That is not happening. And so that was a big fight. Finally, I, you know, get clearance from the tower to go take a shower by myself. So I get all done taking a shower. I dried off and I start to get dressed and this little devil pops up on my shoulder, you know, and I'm like, It's probably an opportunity presenting myself right here. No, I probably shouldn't do that. Yeah, I probably definitely should do that. So I finish getting all dressed. I lay down on the bathroom floor, and I do a push-up off the ground as hard as I could, and then just slam back down into the floor as hard as I can, you know. And I go, and I know my mom has been listening intently because she is so afraid that I'm going to fall in the shower and re-injure my leg. And all I hear is, God damn it, I knew it! Steve! And all I hear is, dum, 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 dum. My dad comes charging down the hallway. It's a long hallway in my parents' house. Dum, 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 all the way down in the hallway to the bedroom. My dad rips open the bathroom door, and then I'm like, ah, I gotcha! I don't know if my dad's ever been more pissed off at me. Just the look on his face, just absolute disgust. You just slams the door shut. I hear him, he ain't fucking hurt. Just absolute. My mom, I hear my mom hang up the phone because she was already getting up, picked up the phone to fucking dial 911.
That probably would have been the other time you heard that 44 click.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I felt kind of bad afterwards, but man, I laid there on the floor and laughed real hard for probably 10 solid minutes.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That is.
Oh, man.
Keeps you young that way.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty young and stupid already, but yeah, it was.
Well, it's kind of like when the cougar showed up north.
Yes.
You know?
That.
Were you there for that?
I don't know, but I've heard the story.
Oh, that was scary. I don't think I've heard that.
I'm surprised we're here.
Right.
I thought we were dead.
I thought somebody was going to die.
One way, either the cougar eating them or getting shot.
Or getting shot, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were up. That was deer season.
Yeah, it was hunting season.
Was that first weekend or Sunday?
I think it was the second
during the
weekend.
Week or something?
Yeah, you know, the week, whatever, you know, the tail end of the week, I think.
Yeah.
Because they always stopped up the second weekend.
Yeah. We had relatives that lived in, where do they? Ladysmith area or somewhere?
South of Tony.
And they had came up. We were hunting. Now we were sitting. We were drinking beer at the cabin anyway.
At your cabin at Skeeter's?
Yeah. After a long day of hunting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, just hard. Hard.
Yeah.
It was probably a PTO day.
We get PTO too. Yeah. But we were there, and a tank was there for whatever reason. Yep. Was there Pat
himself,
was there.
Elmer.
Yeah, me. Your dad.
Yep.
I don't know who else was there.
That might have been it.
It might have been it. Whatever. But anyway, we were there, and we even got a deer that
day. We did. We cleaned deer that afternoon.
Yeah, we had deer. So for whatever reason, Pat had stuck some. Must have been the.
So they would cool down.
Oh,
like, you know,
so
we put them in gallon bags or whatever it was.
Yeah, because the freezers were full. And yep. Keep going.
Oh, well, so he set the freshly
trims
outside by the door.
In bags or
whatever. Yep. Yeah.
Just to cool.
Right. Well, next thing we hear, I don't even can't even make that fucking noise.
It was like scratching at the door.
Yeah, it was somebody was scratching at the.
Well, the main door was partially open because I'm sure it was 95.
Screen door. Well,
yeah,
that's part of
thermometer blinking because it can't record any
right.
higher. Yeah,
so there's the screen door is shut, you know, and then the main door, steel door, by the way.
Yeah.
Partially open.
And you just heard some gentle meowing.
I think there was scratching.
There was scratching on that door. I mean, like claws were.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah, and or whatever the
cougar makes.
Whatever the noise a cougar makes, that's what was coming outside.
Cougar the cat, not cougar that you might find at a local watering hole.
That is correct.
Okay, right.
Not
animal.
Don't want to get those two confused.
Right.
On this story.
Yeah, so it wasn't a high young fella. It was something else that you heard. Mm-hmm. Sure, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Pat goes, oh, shit, I left that meat outside. And it wants more. He ate that meat and it wants more. Well, here we are sitting inside.
Mm-hmm. A cabin.
In the cabin. Pat runs over to that steel door, puts his foot against the bottom of the door, slams it shut, Skeeter's yelling, get my fucking gun, get my gun, get my gun. Chad runs over. Skeeter has this gun in his hand, pointed at the door, and Pat's standing there with his foot on the bottom of the door.
Cougar's still trying to get in. I mean, and it's loud now.
Scratching at it. Right. Oh, my God.
And I don't remember, was it Elmer or Tang? Somebody was on the chair, standing up on the chair.
Yeah.
And behind somebody else.
Oh, talk about scared. I mean,
Who was outside? It wasn't actually a cougar, was it?
No, at this point, it's a cougar.
At this point of the story.
Live cougar.
It was coming in. It was coming through that fucking door.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Elmer even had another gun in his hand. I don't know. But
there was guns involved.
Well, yeah, you're at home.
There was panic happening.
Yeah, that's true, panic.
Panic was happening at that camp.
Yep.
And
so somebody yells, I don't know, shoot.
I think it was, I'm going to shoot or stand back. I'm shooting through the door or some fucking thing.
We're not opening the door.
It was shooting through the door.
Because you know the cougar could chew right through the door.
Right, yes, steal one.
Cougars do that all the time. Yeah.
Yep. Or turn the doorknob to come in.
Yeah.
But at the time, we weren't thinking that because it was fucking coming through the door.
Because it was hungry. It smelled that blood.
It ate the meat outside and it wanted more.
Wanted human.
Human, right.
Yep.
And
luckily, the cougar heard someone say shoot.
Luckily. But I want to think Tank looked out the window and said,
there's people standing
out there. And we're like, what the fuck is there people standing outside for? There's a cougar. he's looking out the window. He's like, oh, there's some guys out there. What the fuck? Well, here was who?
Randy Rubenzer.
Randy Rubenzer showed
up. And I don't know if it was the boys and the...
Yeah, it was boys and whoever else was.
They were scratching at the door. He was making the cougar noise. And it was...
If you ever heard him make that noise, you would know.
Yeah, still to this day, he can make that same noise, and it is...
It sounds like a cougar.
I don't know. I guess I don't even know what a real cougar sounds like.
What he does.
It's that. In my mind, that is exactly what he makes.
That's scary. Awesome. That was scary.
It was scary to be there, and then after the fact, just to relive it, the noise, it's just...
That's been, 20 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean...
Maybe not quite 20, that long. Maybe 30. Longer. I don't know. And we're still talking about this story now.
Yeah. I would say, 20 plus.
I can't believe you couldn't hear him laughing. I'd have been pissing my pants off.
Oh, and he wasn't, though.
He wasn't laughing.
To the T. He was playing the part.
Yep.
And the other guys were just around the corner.
Right. And so,
I'm assuming they were laughing.
Obviously. Well, because usually you could see people coming up the driveway.
Yeah.
You could see them, but.
I think they parked.
I think he said he shut the lights off.
Okay, which if they parked at the top of the hill and their lights off, you wouldn't see them.
No, you wouldn't see them back there.
Yeah, if they parked before they got up crested there.
Yeah, but it was...
That's good
definitely
stuff.
He almost got shot that day.
And I think the paper would have said, hunters kill cougar.
Cougar, yeah.
That's nothing more.
Shoot, shovel, and shut up.
And there would just have been an article somewhere down the line, hunter found dead in the woods, different story. But
missing hunter never recovered.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Yep.
That was scary.
That was. It's definitely.
Your dad, Skeeter, was part of one that I did one time.
Yeah?
We were up on Upper Red Lake, and it was me, your dad, Skeeter, my buddy Josh, and another guy that my dad and Skeeter worked with, I don't remember his name, in one sleeper shack on Upper Red. And then it was my mom and dad and their friends, Joe and Sheila, in another sleeper shack. And we were a ways apart. The shacks were like a couple hundred yards, maybe, something like that. Not a long ways, but a ways. And
like on the ice?
On the ice, okay. We slept out on the ice, stayed overnight, multiple days out there, whatever. And I think it was the first day when we got up there, it was pretty warm. And then that night, it was supposed to get down to like 30 or 40 below. So it was like a 60-degree temperature swing because it was like just above freezing when we went. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to get that cold that night. And when that happens, obviously a big temperature fluctuation causes changes in the ice. So when they took us out to our sleepers, they told us like, at some point tonight, don't be afraid, but you're going to hear a loud boom from that temperature change causing the ice to heave. And he's like, you may actually feel like an earthquake almost because it'll send a wave under the ice and the ice will heave. My mom is not a big fan of being on the ice in general, so she was a little pooping her pants already just thinking about that. And I think the other gal, Sheila, was not super excited about it either. And I mean, that's a huge lake compared to the lakes we have in our area, right? And so none of us are real familiar with what happens on big ice like that. You know what I mean? Pressure ridges, and you don't get shit like that on like Marshmiller, right? Yep. You know? So anyways, it was the first day and we're all sitting around, you know, us in our shack, them in their shack and drinking, you know, dinner's done. Rattle reels are in the holes and we're playing cards. And I was like, you know, we should sneak over to that other shack and just start pounding on the fucking walls and see what they do. And Skeeter looks at me and he goes, I don't think that's really a very good idea. He said, I would prefer not to be standing by that door when something like that happens and the big fella comes outside talking about my dad. And I was like, she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Fast forward several hours, many more adult beverages later, and it's now like 1 a.m., right? And I was like, what do you think about it? Fuck yeah, that sounds like a good goddamn idea. Let's go do that. And I don't think the fourth guy in our cabin, their coworker, came. I think it was just me, Skeeter, and Josh. It's like 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And we sneak across the ice over to their shack. And each of us gets on a side of the thing and we count, you know, 1, 2, 3, and we all just start pounding on the side of the shack. And I think one person was on a corner, like trying to shake it, and all just start screaming, right? And all I hear inside is just, oh my God, screaming and yelling. And I crack open the door right away and I see the tail end of my dad vaulting out of the top bunk in just a pair of whitey tighties, and he hits the floor in his feet and he's still like half asleep, right? And his feet are just going, he's like, what's going on? And everybody is dying. My mom thought they were going in. She was hanging on to like a bunk bed. She thought the shack was going down. Oh yeah, they thought it was all over with, but it wasn't. Obviously
the big shift, the big ice shift. Yep.
It did come through.
I was saying, yeah, it was a
day. It did come through around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and it shook the entire shack, and it sounded like somebody had lit off a couple sticks of TNT. I mean, it's pretty crazy, but yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, we're about at our time limit here.
Yeah, time flies.
Yeah. We maybe didn't get to everything that we were going to, but
next time.
That's kind of what makes it fun, is you kind of just get on a tangent and go and see where the day takes you. So.
Yeah, next week, you know, a couple topics we can throw out there.
Hell yeah, absolutely.
All right, then. We will see you guys all next week, and have a good day.
You as well.
Later. Adios.
Peace.